Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. ESPN News were presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right, Arizona, Green Bay, they square off tonight on Thursday Night Football.
In the big toaster.
Is this the most important game so far of Arizona's season?
The next game is always the most important game, Max.
Oh, boy.
He's been around me.
Yeah, you caught the Keyshawn bug.
Less of Max, more of me, one game at a time. Look ahead.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
You lose when you look ahead. So this is an important game for both sides. They got to stay. Arizona's got to stay on pace to get the first round bye. But I think Arizona will lose a game or two this year, so they're not going to go undefeated to automatically get the first round bye. But you don't want to lose a head-to-head battle with a team that's right there with you, one game behind you.
And they've had a huge win at the Rams.
Which was a shocker.
And the Rams are an excellent team. They've been excellent since then. That's their signature win.
Yes. Thus far, yes.
But if we acknowledge that there's not going to be an undefeated team, let's just presume that's especially in a 17-game season, right?
It would be Arizona.
Okay. So Arizona and Green Bay come in both with excellent records, both expect to be fighting toward the end, right? And Arizona is at home. Green Bay is on the road. Arizona, they're both playing on a short week, but Arizona has more hands on deck right now.
Yeah,
they have
absolutely
than Green Bay.
They have their defensive coordinator. Green Bay doesn't. They have their wide receivers. Green Bay doesn't. They have their head coach. Green Bay has their head coach. They have quarterbacks. They got all everything. Arizona doesn't have J.J. Watt, but Green Bay's defense is not – I don't know. I don't even know what to call them. They're not good. Let's just say that. They're okay.
You know, let me ask you guys a quick question. Where do you have Kyler Murray in your MVP voting?
I mean, he's right there with everybody else.
But tell me, what does right there mean? Because I think it's going to lead to my point. What do you mean all the same? Where do you have him? 1, 2, 3?
They're all bunched up. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Dak Prescott, okay. Kyler Murray.
So, but if you have a vote, Key, if you're an MVP voter, you got to list them. So
I'm going to list him. That's what I just gave you.
But I'm saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like that.
Who would be number one for you right now?
And maybe Kyler. Maybe after Lamar just lost.
This is what I think tonight's about that.
Who would be number one for me?
Yeah, right now. Right now.
What's your definition of MVP, though?
It's your definition.
Whatever your definition is.
My definition is the most valuable player to their team.
Lamar?
It would be Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I had Lamar.
That's my definition.
Okay. I had Lamar.
Or it would be Aaron Rodgers. Or it would be Dak Prescott.
See, I think it's
or
most
it would
valuable,
be Tom Brady.
Most valuable player to their team, but also having a crazy successful year, which I think they're all doing.
I
think tonight is about that for me, right? It's about, Aaron Rodgers, everything that happened in the offseason, he's catapulting back into that MVP conversation. And here is a team that people don't like the way they played to a degree with the air raid system.
Not me.
No, yeah, not you.
Person.
We
person.
Got multiple
Joseph
people.
Keyshawn Johnson he's
we
talking to.
We got multiple people on the show that said, Rex Ryan was even like, the air raid system, you ain't going to win nothing with that. Multiple people have said that. So Kyler Murray's kicking it into a different notch. So for me, there's all right, who's going to take the
Jay,
next
I
step
love
up
that.
In that conversation?
I love that because, look.
I love Jay. You go right, he going to go left on everything.
No. In other words, the angle that you're taking on this game, if you're a columnist and you're going to write the story of this game, the angle that's interesting to you is at the top of the MVP conversation, tonight we're going to see two of the candidates.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Absolutely. And the guy who we've seen this before with Aaron Rodgers, Dak when he was younger in the playoffs, so many quarterbacks. Almost beat them, and even they lead their team down the field, and they score points. But if the ball's in Aaron Rodgers' hands at the end, he does things that you're not supposed to be able to do that. So you're saying if Kyler Murray can overcome that
yes,
now maybe he takes the lead in the MVP conversation.
Well, you expect a shootout tonight. You expect a shootout tonight.
Aaron Rodgers is shorthanded. This is not the same snack crackle pop that it was. Yeah. Coming into this week.
But, guys, that makes it even way more interesting.
I agree.
Because he is shorthanded. And we're still sitting here saying, I'm like, why do you guys have the Packers ranked so high? You're like, Aaron Rodgers. Because we have this firm belief that Aaron Rodgers can do so much more with less because he's
Rodgers
too.
So
yeah, he can do, but when you're losing two of your top weapons on offense – That's hard to overcome.
So if Rodgers, Jay,
if he does.
Are you saying, because if you, I like this, if Rodgers wins, certainly, then it's like he's been on the outskirts of the conversation, but if this could be the game where his MVP candidacy gains steam.
Yes, and if
but
he does
it
without.
The only reason why he's been on the outskirts is because the conversation started after week one.
Of course.
And yeah, so
course,
after it started week one and he played the New Orleans Saints, he was already behind the eight ball.
Yeah, because he only had six padded practices.
Yeah,
or whatever.
He had to catch up to the gap, and then the other guys start playing well. And so he now had to make up all that ground. Yep. And if he goes into the, as I like to call it, the big toaster in Arizona, you've seen the stadium looks like a toaster. If he goes into Arizona and he takes care of business against them, then you got to look at it and go, okay, well, maybe he climbs to the front.
Are you on Kyler right now? Like, cause
I am
absolutely
because they're undefeated and he's been playing out of his mind.
I mean, MVP. Your number one vote goes to Kyler. Yours goes to Lamar. My number one vote. It is so close right now. I have to say, this is how dumb I am with this stuff. Because Lamar just lost big, I might have Kyler number one at the moment, but I had Lamar until now. Let me tell you someone else though. You could easily give it to Tom Brady. Easily give it to Tom.
He's right there too. Yes.
You give it to Dak, you can give it to Aaron.
But I like Jay's angle because if Rodgers wins this game, it nationally televised, prime time, short rest, no receivers. Now he's going to jump up in people's mind. He's going to be on the front of people's minds when they
think about that narrative. Think about that narrative tomorrow. Look what Aaron Rodgers did without his weapons.
Well, you know, we just came in and we played the way we were supposed to play. You know, that's just the thing that we like to do in Green Bay is just make sure that we get our jobs done around here.
And if Kyler wins, then even though, they're supposed to win, they're at home and everything, at a certain point,
he beat Aaron Rodgers.
And we're almost halfway through the season, and he's still undefeated.
They're real. They beat Aaron Rodgers. What do you have to say now? Then they'll fall to three in my ranking.
I feel as if
keep your mouth shut this week.
For Aaron Rodgers, he's kind of playing with gravy, right? Like, if they lose, okay, well, look how many weapons he was down. Like, that's what we'll say. Let's be honest about it. But if they win, right, you're like, wow, look where he can go. If Kyler wins, you're sitting there saying, well, you know, like, he did his thing, but, like, it still puts him a little bit of that notch ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
He will have beaten two pretty good teams with or without the weapons, because Green Bay is still a decent team and sitting at the 6-1 record that they're at. So you clearly would look at them and go,
appreciation
they're pretty good.
There.
I think it's a good point. Look, the dumb sports guy take, which is my take here, is that the story, by the way, I have no shame in my game.
Labeling yourself that
way. No shame in my game.
But you're not a dumb sports guy.
But this is the dumb sports guy take.
I'm a
brilliant sports pundit. But
I didn't say anything.
The point is, sometimes I recognize when I'm making the broad, general kind of dumb guy take. But
like jumping off a cliff? Get it, go ahead.
But no, that was actually not the broad, general take.
Don't lose track of your thought. Yeah, stay with it.
The point is that the way we reduce these things, because 50-plus guys is too many people to keep track of. We reduce it in our minds, most of us. Certainly the narrative in the media is quarterback, coach. It's just easier to tell the story with fewer characters, right? So when Lamar beats Mahomes and then Justin Herbert, had he followed that up and there's Joe Burrow next to those dudes, Lamar's going to be number one in MVP for most people, I think.
Yeah, see, Cincinnati, the Cincinnati game.
Clunker.
It wasn't build up. It was kind of like Cincinnati. Yeah.
And you even called it.
And like, the reason Cincinnati is getting so much love is because people are prisoners of the moment. Now, all of a sudden, Joe Burrow
400 yards.
He's going to be the next.
And also, because they're now Joe, I think of it as like pelts on the wall. Now, he got Lamar's. But what I'm saying about, or Jay, what I think you're saying about this game, or what it seems to me you're right about the narrative is, even if all those excuses are built in for a Packers loss, if Kyler Murray hangs Aaron Rodgers on his wall next to Matt Stafford, all of a sudden that's going to gain momentum.
And you're 8-0, though.
8-0.
So it changes the feel about the team as a whole. You know, it just you just like, okay, well, they're 8-0. Your record indicates exactly what you are. You're 8-0. And you've taken down two big guns in the NFL.
Yep.
You've taken down the Rams and the Green Bay Packers. And so who's next?
I get a chance to do Phoenix Radio every week, and I was listening to sound
before. I knew it was an angle.
Jay, no, but I was listening.
You told on yourself just
now. No, but no. If you listen to him, he going to always tell on himself.
What are you talking about?
You got to just listen to him.
Stop.
Go ahead, though, man.
No. I was listening to Kyler Murray talk about how he felt like this year was so different because of the leadership they have in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Guys like A.J. Green. And what that means when you're surrounded.
Colt McCoy, A.J.
Yes,
Green,
what
J.J.
that means
Watt.
For your team. And they actually believe it. Like, the culture has shifted there. That's a massive thing to hear.
They've done a major overhaul in their running game, which is important because if they were not running the football, they will not be sitting at 7-0.
I want to say, mm-hmm. to Jay's point just now, just recently we were talking about a team that made the mistake because they were young of not having any veteran. Oh, it was the Pelicans. Doris Burke brought up.
What, for Zion,
and,
yeah.
But the point is, when you're building and you want to go young and all that stuff, and you need, that's even more reason, you absolutely can't get rid of the veteran. In fact, you should have strong veteran presences in important positions.
Well, they had veteran presence. They just added more. Mm. They added playoff experience. Mm-hmm. They added guys that had been there before, long tooth. You know, that's what they added.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of basketball.
Hey.
NBA.
I'm here.
Jay, James Harden, who I keep saying rolled out of bed, showed up in Brooklyn looking a hot mess last year, fat and out of shape, was a walking triple-double with 30 points in wins, right? Mm-hmm. Looks the same way this year, but they're not winning, and he's not playing like James Harden. Listen to what James Harden says is going on, and then let's get into it.
My career, I've been blessed, you know what I mean, just not have any surgeries or whatnot. So just this, that whole process last year was just like frustrating and draining. You know, I love the hoop. Like if it wasn't for the money, I'd still be hooping. You know what I mean? So it was frustrating last year. It was draining for me to know that I couldn't be myself and be out there on the floor and be, you know, the player that I am. Mm. But I'm finally, you know, slowly getting back to it. You know, it takes a lot of hard work and dedication, and it's going to happen. But you got to just continue to, you know, keep fighting for it. And I will.
So last night at the game, I felt like I never saw James Harden get into his bag, Key. Rotations were really weird last night. Him and LaMarcus Aldridge, that chemistry is so far off. He has better chemistry with Nick Claxton than he does with LaMarcus Aldridge. And, you know, I started thinking last night, I'm watching, I'm like, all right, Mike D'Antoni's not there. It puts a lot more pressure on Steve Nash with a lot of the sets that they're doing with Jacque Vaughn. I do think that James Harden will eventually find it. But, like, there's some gaps here with this team, man. They're older. A lot of their bigs can't move the same way defensively. I just watched Miami blitz
them
last
night. You were courtside.
I was courtside. Miami is
the best defensive team. There's Jay-Z. Yeah.
Miami, Milwaukee Bucks are the two best defensive teams. The Knicks are probably there, too, in the Eastern Conference. But they swallowed them up last night. And I'm like, I wonder what this team could be with Kyrie. And that's the question you're going
to
start always asking.
I want to
James
talk
can
about
get his
Kyrie.
Bag. They can be there, but Kyrie is the missing piece of this team.
Let's talk about
four
Kyrie.
Games into the year, though.
Yeah, but still.
Another 70-something games to go.
That's what I'm saying. I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But Kyrie is the missing link
for them to
be where they need to be.
Let's talk Kyrie.
Because he covers up a lot of these other issues.
A lot of people, including me, noticed with Boston, without Kyrie, they seem to be at least as good as they were with him. Hold on, you're as good as Kyrie as you lose a player like that, and if anything, maybe you get a little better. Same thing with the Nets 2 years ago, right? Same thing. Or when he got to Brooklyn, it was like, wait a minute, why isn't the team much worse without Kyrie? If you pointed out then, you got to point out now that with Kyrie last year, without KD, just Kyrie and Harden, they were killing the game, and without Harden, but still with Kyrie, Kyrie and KD were smashing the Bucks. Kyrie does seem to be the missing ingredient on this team. Why do you think that is, Jay?
I think when you have offensive firepower like Kyrie, James Harden, and KD, it covers up a lot of the flaws. Because like, you're scoring at such a high clip all the time, right? Because they're so special of players. You know, now when one guy's off, it's a struggle for this team. Like, what are the chances of two guys being off? Not high.
What about the fact that Kyrie has said publicly KD's the first scorer he's ever played with where he could defer because he's even better than him? And so, like, when he can play with KD, he can be a point guard. And with Harden, he gave Harden the ball, said, you're the point guard. So that frees up Kyrie to kind of just play loose and be himself.
What's the panic, though, here?
No, I don't think there's panic. I don't think there's panic. I think that
because
you're...
Because when you look at it, they've played five games,
mm-hmm.
right? You've got so many more games to go that whether Kyrie's in the building or not, I would think that they're going to get it together, right? Nobody's... I don't think you think Minnesota's getting ready to do anything.
No.
And they're sitting at 3-1. You know, Chicago is undefeated, and Chicago will be a playoff team. But do you think Chicago could beat the Nets when they're fully geared up mid-year?
I think it would be an interesting series.
Yeah, they'll lose an interesting series.
If Kyrie's
series.
Not there, I think it would be a very interesting series.
But the Bulls are I thought that since they made the offseason moves. They're going to be good.
Bulls are good. There's no question with Zach LaVine and company and Ball and Caruso over there now. And who am I missing?
DeMar DeRozan.
Guys, they got a
team. But I'm just saying, when you start to look at the Brooklyn Nets 4 or 5 games into the season and their record is less than 500 – don't panic in this situation.
So can I tell you something else I saw last night? I'm not panicking, but I did see a veteran world championship coach and Eric Spoelstra run circles around Steve Nash. Mm. And I think as you start getting deeper into basketball, the evolution of where Steve Nash goes as a head coach will determine how far I think the Nets can go as well.
Let's stay right there on the coach. So there are at least three layers with Harden. To his own admission, he hasn't really played pickup and gotten ready because he's rehabbing, right? So he's not where he wants to be. That's one. Two, we mentioned Kyrie's absence and how, in a weird way, he's kind of the glue guy on this team. Legs and I were joking about this on the air yesterday. And now, three, and I'm not putting them in order of importance. I'm just saying here's another level. They had D'Antoni on the bench last year. You mentioned this, Jay. D'Antoni and Harden can roll out of bed. Here's the ball. We know how to do this, right?
Offensive genius.
D'Antoni is not there this year. How much of an impact is that having on Harden?
I think James Harden will be okay, but that familiarity and having a guy like that on the sideline that understands what positions of the floor he needs to put you in so you could be at your optimal best, I think is a huge missing thing. You know, talk about another huge missing piece. Jason Kidd, I think, is also another huge missing piece for the Los Angeles Lakers.
We're also struggling.
Frank Vogel is a defensive-minded coach. I don't think this team is going to have issues offensively, but still not having him there, I think there's something missing there, too, I think Jason Kidd could have unlocked the Russell Westbrook situation a lot sooner. It's still going to happen eventually, but I think he would have found ways to have these guys operate with LeBron and Russell on the floor. I'd much rather have Jason Kidd on that staff than having him be in Dallas. So, still very early. I get all this. I'm just talking about being in the trenches, seeing what you see as teams need to work through and how they need to get better, Keith.
Yeah, and even James Harden's shots last night were nice open looks. They just wasn't falling.
Yeah, there is something, though.
It was
Keith,
almost like not out of shape, but not at the shape he needs to be this early in the season.
Can I geek out for 1 second?
You know,
sometimes when
not?
I hear you talk about the routes that you run, it's going to take a major adjustment by Harden not to play into contact. A lot of his game is suited
around
playing into contact all the time, and they're making it a huge stance in the league not to call that. And last night, I still see a lot of that from him. Like breaking arms, doing all that stuff, and they're not calling it. And
this
he's looking
here.
Like,
what's with here?
Yeah, like you guys can't see it because if you're in your car, but there's a pole, right? Like he will rake through arms. And the refs are looking at him like, we ain't calling that no more.
Right. So now four layers. He had to rehab one, so he couldn't play enough. D'Antoni's not there is another. Kyrie's not there is another. And now they're enforcing the rules differently. Again, foul calls are supposed to be there so you get a flowing kind of game, so the defense doesn't act up. Offensive players have manipulated the rule, just like in baseball. Hitters work counts. Balls and strikes, walks are there to force the pitcher to throw strikes so we can watch guys swing the bat, not so we can watch them draw walks. No one wants to see guys draw walks or shoot free throws, right? But guys like James Harden have manipulated that and gotten great at it. They take that away, Jay. How long is it going to take him to adjust to, because he can obviously also hit shots. How long to adjust to the new rules?
I think by midseason he'll be okay.
Or emphasis, new emphasis.
I think by midseason he'll be okay. He just has to get back to playing body ball, where you just can't expect to get calls.
Yeah.
You got to be aggressive.
That like, might you know, help him in the long run.
I think it is going to help him, because look, I'm going to tell you right now, sitting courtside, like, you know, when we all go to a game, like, he has Key's body, yo.
Yeah. Hold on, man.
No, but like, Key, like, if you ever meet Keyshawn Johnson, you see him like, damn, he's 6'4", 6'5". Like, you are solid. Like, James Harden is a solid individual.
And then some.
So if he could play.
Nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And he's still playing in shape, but he can power through a lot of stuff. But yeah. I think he needs to get back to that power.
You know, it's
mentality.
Funny because even when we talk about his play, like James Harden, there have been so many instances where I'm like, in the playoffs, we're like, what just happened? A lot of times to me, it seems like he, instead of looking to hit the shot, I'm going to get the call. I'm going to go to the line. Why not? It's a higher percentage
shot.
To
the call.
And if maybe it helps him in the long run because he's like, no, because he can shoot. No, I got to hit this
maybe,
shot.
And maybe he gets those calls later in the season anyway. Mm-hmm. Instead of right now, early on, they don't want to give him that sort of stuff. And switch over to the Lakers really quick. I think they'll be okay. Their biggest problem is finding the right mix of rotation. That's what they got to do. Their biggest problem is what do we do with Westbrook when LeBron's on the floor? Do we give him the first 6 minutes of the game? Do we remove him from that? And then now it's his unit, like we saw the other night, where all of a sudden he goes for 30. And then when AD is on the floor with him, it's okay, but let AD LeBron play together, let Westbrook AD play together, but not all three. I think they're still trying to figure that mix out.
You know what I've seen lately? Yes, it's only been like 4 or 5 games, but it's crazy. Like, the Lakers don't intimidate nobody. They played against They played against the youngest team in the league last night. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and those boys, they were having fun on the court. Like, it's
well, that's because they beat a brand.
Yeah, but
yeah,
I think you're waiting to see from the Lakers where it gets to that point where it's like, and I think that's what Russ was trying to get to last night, because Russ got kicked out of the game because Darius Bazley took the ball and dunked it with like 4 seconds left, even though they're only 5. Like, they need to get back to being that team that mentally, we are going to make you feel smaller than us.
Before we get
out
of here.
That's who they need to be.
Before we get out of here, because Westbrook's going to be fine in the second. I'm not worried about whether it's going to be a mess in the first half of the season. He'll be great in the second half of the season. New team, he's got to figure it out, right? I want to quickly mention the Chicago Bulls, guys. Before we get out of here, I want to quickly mention the Chicago Bulls. Jay, they made the trade for Vucevic, one of the best overall centers. They brought in Lonzo Ball. That's 40% of the team right there. Kind of a perfect guard to play next to anybody. Can shoot, can defend, can rebound, do whatever you want him to do. They brought in DeMar DeRozan. That's 60% of the starting lineup. An all-star mid-range shooter and slasher. And they drafted Patrick Williams, who might be the most talented guy on the team. They completely remade this roster. And when Key brings up how would they do in a series against a team with elite talent like the Nets, we have to pause for a second.
We do. And we're going to find out tonight when they play against the Knicks about their depth defensively and about their bench for the Bulls, because that's the one question you have for the Bulls.
Back to football coming up. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, why Baker Mayfield may have to play through injury this week. That's next. ESPN Radio, ESPN app, and ESPN News.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Pastor Key, can you bring in our next guest? A beat comes on, you just lose the whole game plan. You're supposed to be Pastor Key bringing in our next guest.
Man,
you just start dancing.
Because it just, you know.
It didn't vibe with the music.
No, because
you should play some church music. Come on,
we ain't going to do him like that. No, not at all.
I'm smelling
money, though. Money.
No, man,
I'm just trying to be clean,
bro.
What was that sponsor over there? What was the bank?
Capital One.
I'm smelling Capital One all day long. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know what it costs, but I want to know. How much are you wearing right now?
I'm doing okay.
I'm doing okay.
Ooh, he got
I'm doing okay.
They clean too. I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I love that line. I'm doing okay.
I'm not gonna let everybody in my pockets, but I'm doing okay.
The coldest thing about the shoes is they just not leather.
Yeah, interior crocodile alligator.
Why y'all putting all my business out there on the street? Can you know better than that? Trying to put all my business out on the street.
I ain't said nothing about. I'm just
telling him what
you clean. What
I run New York.
I feel like Woody getting ready to go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, but see, you know what it is, man. Like, I got to hold it down for the big fellas.
Yep.
You know, because there's a stereotype out there, big fellas be sloppy.
Yeah.
And I'm that, you know, I'm here to rep the big fellas.
From New York. You tell ain't going to be sloppy.
No, I'm from Virginia. I'm from Virginia. Okay. I'm going to hold that down.
But there's always a New York-Virginia connection.
I'm going to hold it down.
Okay, you ain't going to be sloppy. That ain't, no.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Mm-mm. I can show you some sloppy line, but what you not at all.
Damian Woody, two-time Super Bowl champion, ESPN NFL analyst, joins us in the studio giving us Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So that's not Patriots money. That's Jets money right there.
That's Patriots money.
Stay out of this man's bank account.
Listen, you know how it goes.
You know why it's Patriots
you make
money?
Your bones with the Patriots, and you go get paid somewhere else.
No, you know how that works. No. It's Patriot money. You know why?
Why is that?
Because that's just the extra Super Bowl money that he got from the Super Bowl. That might be right.
Playoff money. That's playoff check.
How was that Super Bowl money?
He decided to spend that on some gear. I know what he did.
Damian giving you the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So we're going to get into some of the NFL storylines, Baker Mayfield's injury. Yesterday, we were talking about athletes and what's the toughest thing you ever seen on a field and this and that. Coming off of the fibula, the broken fibula, Charlie Morton in the World Series. Is it true you played on a torn Achilles in a playoff game?
I did.
What?
I did.
That's holding up a lot of weight, that Achilles, too. Let's be real. It's a big guy right there.
It was holding up a lot. Yeah, it was literally the last drive of a wild card game we played against the Indianapolis Colts on the road. And the very first play of the drive, I just took a step back. I wasn't blocking any. I wasn't touching anyone. I just felt it just pop and roll up into my calf.
Oh.
We're in a 2-minute drill.
Yeah.
So I just tried to manage a couple plays, and then we had a stoppage, and I was able to hop my way off the field and get my,
Did it hurt?
Oh, man, it felt like I got shot in the back of my calf.
Yeah, that's what
like, it, like when you know, you know. Like, there
but
is
why,
no.
But why did you keep playing, though?
Because, Keith, my mind was just like, we're in the middle of a 2-minute drive.
Yeah.
Like, I just, you know how it is, man. Sometimes, like, you get hurt and you just, I don't know, man, mentally. I always say, guys that play football, we're a little crazy.
Yeah.
So we just do stuff that's not really, you're not really mm-hmm. thinking about it. So I played a couple plays. We had a stoppage. And then I hopped my behind off the field.
How were you able to play during those plays, though?
Man, shoot. I just managed, man. I just, in my mind, I'm like, I'm not gonna let my QB get hit. I don't care
run plays or pass
plays?
No,
pass plays.
So you had to lean back.
Yeah, yeah. I'm based on one leg, man.
So you just was kind of like.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I was literally out there on one leg, man. But at the end of the day, if I got to tackle somebody before they hit the quarterback, did we win? Yeah, we won the last second field goal.
Everybody needs linemen like him.
I play a different position. I guess if I had to, I probably could withstand the pain, but I just know from breaking my ankle, and I thought about still trying to play in that Giant game because I had an incentive that I needed to get. Going into the game, I needed 44 yards to get $500,000. So, and we went over in the locker room early in the locker room before the game. Hey, what you need? You need this. So we're like, cool. Vinny go, okay, we got it. We can get you. So they throw the deep crosser to me. Bam, I get 22. My snap. I could hear a snap.
You're halfway there.
Damn it. It's the first quarter.
Oh.
So I knew I was going to get it. And I tried to get up. I asked the trainer. I said, man, is there anything I can do? I feel fine. They're like, no, ain't nothing you can do.
You wanted that bread.
Well, speaking of wanting the bread.
Half a million.
Baker Mayfield, if you're sitting there watching Case Keenum and he's about to play again, you're taking money out of your pocket, what would you do?
Well, I mean, listen, it's not even up to Baker Mayfield, really. I mean, listen, if you're the coaching staff, 100% Case Keenum is better than 70-80% back Baker Mayfield.
100%.
Because I don't think the difference between Baker Mayfield and Case Keenum is that wide anyway. So listen,
do me a favor.
We agreed on
this. Do me a favor, sir. Explain that one more time to JD Williams, please, because me and Max tried to tell him this a little earlier. Let him explain to you, JD.
Listen, I always talk about there's different levels to this as far as quarterbacks are concerned. There are quarterbacks that can literally put a team on their back, on their shoulders, and will them to win. There are guys that you can win with, and that's where Baker Mayfield is. Baker Mayfield is a guy that you can win with. He's not a guy that's going to elevate your team and put the team on his back. That's not the way the Cleveland Browns
are built. He's in the same bucket as Case Keenum. Right. Like him a little better.
Like, Case Keenum is a guy, he's not going to go out here and hurt you. He's going to run the system. He'll be efficient. He'll get the balls to the play, all the other playmakers on the team. And that's how the Cleveland Browns can win, because they are that talented. They got the best offensive line in the league. They got the best backfield in the league. They got wide receivers, and they got guys on defense that can get it done. All Case Keenum got to do is go out there and don't screw it up. Screw it up. Make plays here and there. Hand the ball off to the running backs. Cleveland can win that way. Baker Mayfield is basically that same type of guy. That's what he is.
I know both of you guys know more football. You guys have forgotten more football than I will ever know. I just want to clarify. My point was not that Case Keenum can't do it in the interim. Max was starting going down the road that they could take Case Keenum for long term. And I'm sitting there saying, whoa, wait a second.
I think this is what Max is talking about. It's as it relates to contract money. Because are you willing to throw $35, $40 million at a guy that can't elevate your team? Is that what
when you want to? When
you
six?
Do you want to destroy your salary cap Damian, on a guy that can't elevate his team?
Damian, real quick before we go to the
now
break,
we got to
hear something crazy
flashing right now.
Want to hear something crazy? Damian, what was your bench again? What was your bench when you were in the league?
Like 540. It was 545.
545. So what
that's
did you squat?
It? What do you mean? That's it?
Huh?
That's
what did you squat?
675.
That's yeah, of course. Whose Achilles could ever function after this?
Well, you do need your Achilles, man.
Yes, no, I'm saying I can't even imagine you still have. Thank you, Damian Woody. That's the great Damian Woody, ladies and gentlemen. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests on the Goodyear Hotline. Coming up next,
strongest dude on this team.
Why Deshaun Watson won't end up in a Panthers uniform.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. The Carolina Panthers will not pursue Houston Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson with the NFL trade deadline approaching Tuesday. A league source confirmed to ESPN on Wednesday. That's yesterday. Key, what was your reaction to that?
That which part? That the Carolina
that they're just not going to pursue him, or is that what they said? In fact,
I mean, well, if they said that and confirmed to ESPN, I'm going to assume that our top notch reporters have the information. A guy like Adam Schefter, for instance, would have that information. If it's just going on a press conference and Matt Rhule not mentioning Deshaun Watson's name and just staying on Sam Darnold, I can't come to that conclusion. But based on the report from us, then I trust our reporters that they got that information from somebody.
Earlier in the show, we played the sound from the presser, and Key was like, well, they're not allowed to comment, so they're not really saying they're not going after him. But now we have Adam Schefter, ESPN senior NFL insider, here with us on the Goodyear Hotline. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Chef, buddy?
We have questions. We know you have answers. The Panthers said they're out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. First of all, did they in fact say that? Were they simply not able to answer the question about another player?
No, they're not going forward with Deshaun Watson right now. And it reminds me almost of the idea where basically they're breaking up with him before he could break up with them, because it wasn't going to happen by the trade deadline anyway. It didn't sound like he was all that interested in going to Carolina. And so they said, you know what? We're out of the Deshaun talks. We're not going to be involved in this right now. Maybe in the offseason, if he's still in Houston, if he's still available, maybe at that time we'll revisit it. But we're going to concentrate on this season, see how it plays out, and we're going to table this till after the season. Right now, not interested.
Adam, what is the likelihood that the big fish in Deshaun Watson does not actually get traded before the deadline?
I think it's real. Listen, I can't tell you the number of times I've gotten a call or a text in the last 5-6 months, going back to the start of the summer, that Deshaun Watson is getting traded. Get ready. Here it comes. Where is it? It was happening in July. It was happening in August. It was happening right before training camp. It was happening before the start of the season. It was happening last week. It was happening this week. It hasn't happened. And so now we're down to Tuesday, 4 o'clock Eastern deadline. And if I had to bet a dollar today, I would say he's not traded. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be. He could. But there have been so many false alarms here. And let's also keep in mind, there are 22 civil lawsuits right now, 10 criminal complaints involving sexual harassment, inappropriate behavior. And Deshaun Watson has maintained all along he believes he's done nothing wrong and that he's innocent. So you don't know what to believe. The NFL has not found enough evidence so far to put him on the commissioner's exempt list. They've allowed him to be on the Houston Texans roster. The Texans have kind of danced around this and not gotten a deal done for whatever reason. Other teams haven't been willing to give up what the Texans have wanted. The legal situation hangs out there unresolved, whichever way it's going to be handled. And so there's still a lot of questions. Now, that doesn't mean it couldn't get done. Of course it could. Deadlines usually spur action. But there's still so much that needs to be sorted out and sifted through here that I think it's very fair to wonder if something will get done by the 2 p.m. or 4 p.m. Tuesday deadline that a trade has to be done by.
Hey, Adam, real quick for me, let's stay on the Texans for a minute. Why did they move on from Mark Ingram and send him to New Orleans, a team that drafted him?
Essentially, I think that just about any player on the Texans roster is available for a draft pick. And they're in rebuilding mode, and they know that. And Mark Ingram's a veteran running back who, he's not going to be there long term. He's not going to be there if and when Houston can turn it around, when it's winning again. And so if you can get a late-round draft pick, a swap of picks, not very much, but some draft currency. The more draft currency you can get in Houston right now, the better off you will be in the future. And so that's ultimately what the Texans decided to do.
Schefter, what's the latest on Dak Prescott's status heading into this week's Sunday night matchup versus the Vikings?
Jay, Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys head coach, said yesterday that Dak has to cross a certain threshold before they sign off on him playing, which just tells you that they're being careful, cautious, want to see him this week before they make any final judgments about whether he will or won't be available on Sunday night. And just think about all the calf injuries across the league. Michael Gallup, the Cowboys wide receiver, different position, get it. He suffered a calf injury in the preseason, still hasn't played yet this summer or this season. Jimmy Garoppolo, calf injury, didn't play. George Kittle, calf injury, IR. We can go on and on with all these calf injuries. Dak Prescott suffered it on the last play of the win in the great game The great win at New England. They had the bye week last week for him to undergo treatment, get rest. And he's responded well, and he's where they want him to be. But before they sign off on him playing Sunday night, if they sign off on him playing Sunday night, they want to see how he gets through the week, how he manages it. And the people at practice yesterday said that Dak looked like Dak. You couldn't tell much of a difference. Not that you would with a calf muscle, but the fact of the matter is they were encouraged by what they saw and still need to see more before he's cleared to play Sunday night.
Hey, Adam, let's laugh a little bit here because this is funny to me, just like I'm sure it is to you. We talk about the offseason and some of the things, the wild things that went on this past offseason. Aaron Rodgers told the Pat McAfee show that he is having the time of his life in Green Bay right now. After everything that went on and transpired in the offseason, what's the confidence level now, you think, in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers saying that?
Well, listen, they're winning right now, Key, and they're amongst the best teams in football, and I would imagine that he's having the time of his life. When you're 6-1 going into a Thursday night game against Arizona, you know you've got a bye week and ahead. Yeah, that's very enjoyable. They've won six straight games after losing in New Orleans. So, yes, when you are winning in the NFL, most everybody's having the time of their life. Everybody in Arizona's having the time of their life. I still am not convinced that anything's different with this situation. And it's tabled for this season. It'll be addressed again after this offseason or this season in the offseason. So, again, he's enjoying it now. Mm-hmm. But we know that there are more decisions and discussions to be had after this season.
Chef, we got about 20 seconds left. What's the latest on J.J. Watt's shoulder injury?
He's going to need surgery. It's likely going to end his season. He suffered it in the second quarter on Sunday, played the rest of the game with it. And that's a blow to the Arizona Cardinals, who ruled him out of last night's or tonight's game yesterday. And now he's going to have that surgery. Spent the week meeting with doctors, medical specialists, and that was the determination that they came to last night. J.J. Watt out indefinitely.
Thank you, Adam, as always. Great for the clarification on the, especially on the Deshaun Watson situation. Yep, we keep waiting for it to happen, and yet it has not
happened. Still not happened.
Let's go, Wolverines. Let's go, Michigan.
Thanks, Adam.
Yo, big game. Big game Saturday. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Shefty.
All right, so coming up next, turns out that we're not as good at gambling as we thought we might be. We'll explain next. Geez. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I'm broke.
On ESPN Radio, already? The ESPN app, and ESPN News.
Can I get a loan?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.